Today our scripture comes from the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, verses 24 through 37. But in those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away before all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the home will come, in the evening or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
That's better. That's better. What a privilege it is to be here with you at Fairfield. I know your congregation well. I know your pastors, Steve and Darren, well. We've been neighbors for 14 years, but I have never worshiped with you except at a presbytery meeting, so it is a privilege to be here today to worship, to gather around the Lord's table, and to celebrate the beginning of the Advent season. Advent is that time of the year that I think sometimes we Christians get a little confused with Lent. We get all ready to be prepared, but this preparation is about anticipation. It's not about repenting of our sins, although that's part of it, but it is about getting ready, preparing. Advent means expectations. This is a season of expectations, and we are asked to prepare, to get ready. John the Baptist said, prepare the way of the Lord. And every year since then, we've been shopping online and our catalogs and getting the wreaths up in the windows and the lights, and we've been preparing for the coming of Christmas, the coming of Advent. But the Gospel of Mark tells us it is about something else quite different. It is about the coming of Jesus. It is about the coming of the one who has been promised. And in this passage, Mark is the oldest gospel, the first one written, and it's a good place to start. In Mark, Jesus is here in this chapter. He's on the Mount of Olives. He slipped away with four of his best disciples. He had his best friends, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, and he slips away, and they're sitting around looking at the temple over there, and they're admiring what a wonderful, beautiful, magnificent temple it is. And Jesus said, in 3 days that's going to be torn down. And the disciples, well, what does that mean? And the disciples lean into Jesus and they say, tell us what that means. Tell us. Give us a sign. The word sign defines the Gospel of Mark. Give us a sign, they ask, that we know you're coming. And Jesus says, well, look to the fig tree. You'll never know the day, the time, but you can know the season. You can discern what time it is by the season of life. So he says, I will tell you this. No one knows the time or the hour, but you need to be aware. Now, the verse just before the 24th verse where we started, verse 23, there is a verse there that Jesus says, beware, beware. I think a good translation there is be aware, be aware. So in Mark 13, he says, be aware of the times. These are not times as usual. Be aware of what's happening in the world. Be aware of my presence. So be aware. And then he says a little later in this chapter, be alert. Be alert. Be watchful. Be in tune. Be hopeful. And then at the end he says, be vigilant. Keep watch. Be vigilant. Don't fall asleep. Be vigilant. This passage is so akin to Matthew's version of this, and I just have to refer to it. It's about the 10 virgins who have prepared for the coming of the bridegroom. That parable is much akin to this. And that's the image I want you to have here of this chapter about being prepared. We are called to be prepared. Are you prepared to receive Christ into your life? I'm not talking about the house. The neighbors know when you're prepared. One year I was the only one in the block that didn't have time to prepare my house because I was preparing the church. And they want to know what was wrong with the preacher. Didn't she have Christmas in her heart? It's about preparing our hearts. In the words of to the virgins in Matthew, he says, wake up, get ready. Wake up. Thank goodness for the band this morning. Wake up. If you're not awake by now, I need you to turn to your neighbor and say, wake up. Go on, wake up. You're asleep. You're not responding here. Wake up. Okay, you're not going to do it. There's a sign on the interstate in the neon lights they have now on the interstate, and it says, driving drowsy can wreck the holidays. Have you seen that one? Wake up, drowsy Christians. Drowsy Christians, you will wreck the coming, the advent. Wake up. Well, what does that mean? That means, you know, it's not about the gifts. We worry so much about the gifts. We worry more about the gifts than we do about what we're going to bring Jesus Christ. And the gifts are fine and they're important, but do you really have love in your heart? Is your heart prepared? Are you awake with the presence of God and all that He has done in your life so that you can give out of a heart of gratitude? Are you awake to God's Spirit and movement in your life? Wake up. And then we are to watch. Watch. Say it with me, watch. You're going to take home this sermon in three words. Wake up, watch, watch. And I couldn't help but think, you better watch out, you better not cry, you better not pout, I'm telling you why. That's sort of an ominous, you know, if you he sees you when you're sleeping, ooh. He knows when you're awake, ooh. Watch out, watch. That's not the kind of watch. Watch here, you need to insert the word hope. Hope. You watch with hope. Jesus said, look at all the signs around you. Be aware. Don't be deceived by those who say the Christ isn't coming because of all the bad things happening in the world. You're glued to your televisions and you're clucking your tongues and you're wagging your heads and you're saying, where's God in all this? Be aware that God is in control of it all. Don't be distracted by all of that. Keep your eyes on the road. Keep focused. Watch. Be filled with hope. And that means when you watch, you're filled with anticipation. You're not afraid that God, the big eye in the sky, is looking over you and ready to judge you and reward you with good gifts if you've been good, and then to withhold good gifts when you've been bad. That's not the watch. We are to watch for signs of hope in our lives. And I'm telling you, this world today can kill the hope, can't it? Kill the hope, and we without hope are among men most miserable, the King James says. Somebody the other day asked me, well, have you ever been depressed? Oh, yeah. I've been depressed. I mean, really, really depressed, they said. I mean, you mean clinically depressed where I need medication? Yes, I've been depressed. Well, have you been depressed lately? I said, no, I haven't been depressed since, really clinically depressed, since my husband died about 35, 40 years ago. I know what depression feels like. Do you know what it feels like? It feels like hopelessness. Hopelessness. There's nothing there. There's no future. There's no meaning. There's no purpose. There's no identity. There's no destiny. There's nothing. Hopelessness. We are to wake up. We are to watch. Be filled with hope and look for the things that God is doing in our lives. Look for the signs of hope that are out there in the world. Oh, yes, all of this is bad, but you light one little flame over here and you look for that. Watch for that. You wake up, you watch, and then you wait. Wait, say wait. If you're like me, you hate to wait. Who loves to wait? We hate to wait. Waiting. Waiting is a good thing. I don't like to hurry up and get to the airport 2 hours early and just wait, just in case I miss the plane. I like to cut it close. Get there, give me 20 minutes, because I don't like to wait. Don't like to wait in line. I wait 5 minutes for a fish fillet at McDonald's and I'm in a bad mood. I don't like to wait. But Scripture is calling us during this Advent season to wake up, watch, and wait. I want to give you a picture of what waiting does and the redemption that waiting can bring. Many years ago, when my father was alive, he died 4 or 5 years ago, he had a massive heart attack. And he was down in Atlanta, Georgia, visiting my brother. Nobody could get down there but me. I drove down there, hurry up. I mean, it was a terrible drive. Quadruple bypass, he was in the hospital. The family eventually gathered down there. But what did we do? I was there all by myself, waiting. And of course, I was thinking of the church's responsibilities that I had left. It was during Advent. Actually, it was the first Sunday of Advent, now that I think about it. It's interesting. Waiting. What a good is waiting? I could have been somewhere else. That he's in good care with the doctors here. But later on, my dad told me, you don't know what it meant to me to have you waiting. See the redemptive nature of waiting? When you're waiting in hope for God's healing and redemption, when someone is waiting with you to see God's answers come in your life, when we are waiting together, hope builds, and God says to us, I am so glad you're waiting. You're waiting for me. It reflects our love for him. It reflects our devotion. Those who wait upon the Lord, Isaiah says, shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with strength as eagles. They'll run and not be weary, walk and not faint. Wait upon the Lord, and he will renew you. So today we come to this table where Christ came, condescended to us, made himself available. His presence is here with us at the table. He has asked us this Advent season, in all the busyness that you're about, as you light a candle of hope today, as you prepare your homes, can you prepare your hearts to receive me? Wake up. Watch. And wait. Let us pray. Oh God, in this silence we wait for your coming. We have not given up. We have grown discouraged and weary, but we have not given up. We await your appearing in our lives, to those unanswered prayers, to those things that no one else knows that we pray about, but you know, and we are waiting. We are waiting. Fill us with hope today as we gather at your table. Remind us the reason for this season is you, the gift of life, the gift of hope. In your name we pray. Amen.